Thanks, Retro Fandango. Well.
I screwed up the intro there. Do you want me to play
yeah,
it again?
Yeah, we went live halfway through.
Do you want me to play it again?
You might have to. People are going to complain if they don't get the full song.
All right. Here we go.
That's Retro Fandango. That's Retro Fandango. When it's Android over iPhone, and you can keep your stupid amiibo and always bashing on Nintendo. But that's Retro Fandango. That's Retro Fandango. Thanks, Retro Fandango. Well,
there.
That's more like it.
I hit go live. It just didn't go live. My click didn't click.
Hmm.
Yeah. You ever have that?
Do.
Your click just doesn't click?
All the time.
Yeah.
That's part of getting older.
It's common around men our age.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of getting older.
Right.
I was feeling it yesterday in the, garage. Well, I...
Oh, garage.
Yeah, I had to... Well... Yesterday was a roller coaster of being very manly and being very not so manly.
Okay.
So I've been watching, what's that show? The Wonder Years.
That's manly.
It's a great show. Good times. But there is one episode that I had been dreading that was coming up. I knew it was going to happen at some point.
The hamster?
I don't remember the hamster.
Oh.
You remember a hamster?
I remember a scene with a hamster. I won't spoil it for you.
Okay, don't spoil it. I don't remember the hamster. No, Kevin Arnold had this math teacher, Mr. Collins. And I remembered that the math teacher, spoiler alert for the Wonder Years, I remembered that he had passed away. But I forgot that he was around for a bunch of episodes. He was like a recurring character. Mm-hmm. There's one episode where he passes away. And the first time I watched it, it caught me completely off guard as a kid. And mm-hmm. I just started crying. I couldn't stop crying. And I watched it a second time. I remember catching it on a rerun. And I'm like, this, yeah, I know what's going to happen. It's not going to catch me off guard. Like, I know it. I'm not going to cry. There you go. I started bawling again.
Mm-hmm.
So every time Mr. Collins would pop up, I'd be like, oh, is this the episode? And then there was one episode was called Goodbye. And I'm like, okay, I know this is it. I know it's happening. And as I'm watching the episode, it's all coming back to me. In the meantime, I had never in my life had Häagen-Dazs ice cream. People go on and on about Häagen-Dazs ice cream, but
everybody's had Häagen-Dazs.
Every time I brought it up to Sarah, I said, hey, there's the Häagen-Dazs is on sale. Let's get that. No, it's too expensive.
It is pricey.
It's too expensive. We can't afford it. Well, then
let's go get another box of vinyl.
Then I find out. As we're talking with our friends, this is part of the good thing when you're hanging out with friends, you start to find out things about your significant other. She lets it fly that her and her sister all the time when they lived together when they were in college, they would save up their money to get Häagen-Dazs ice cream. And I'm like, I've never had it. And all my friends are like, what? You've never had Häagen-Dazs? I'm like, every time. Then I find out. It's a whole big part of her life, and she just didn't want me in on it or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Oh, Sauce is here. He just saw the tweets, but he's here. Yeah, sorry. I was a little busy, preoccupied today with the promotion and all that. Anyway.
I'm crying.
So anyways, I finally, we went to your independent grocer, and we found Häagen-Dazs ice cream is on sale. Two tubs for $10. So Sarah picked one, and I picked one.
Can you give me a little sign here? How big is a tub?
It's like a pint, I guess, or I don't know. It's like a, I don't know.
It looks like a big coffee cup, right?
Yeah, it's like a medium size, well, a little bigger than a medium size, or not medium, the old medium. This is really confusing.
You lost
it's me, a right? little bigger than the small size Tim Hortons coffee. A little bigger.
All right.
My promotion, Sauce, how I go on.
I'm holding a mug in front of me right now.
It's is about that. It's about that. Okay. Yeah, about that. Am I a limo driver? No, I'm not. Okay. What? Caramel cone explosion was awesome, but now discontinued in Canada. Yeah, see, she knows all about the history of Häagen-Dazs. Caramel
cone explosion. Wow.
Although I was not allowed to have any Häagen-Dazs. This is Sarah, by the way. Mm-hmm. If you're listening, Sarah commented about her past experience with Häagen-Dazs. And I'm not. Mm-hmm. I was denied. For decades, I've been denied. So I finally had Häagen-Dazs. Now, as we were looking at the 2 for $5, there was an employee at the freezer. And this employee's like restocking stuff and that. And I could kind of tell that, mm-hmm. you know, there's all this choice of Häagen-Dazs. Like there were so many different flavors. They're 2 for $5. Which one are we going to pick? And you could tell that we were in this employee's way. So I had to be quick, right? So my two favorite things, peanut butter, chocolate. I grabbed the peanut butter, chocolate, Häagen-Dazs.
Mm-hmm.
As we're walking away, I'm like, this peanut butter and chocolate Häagen-Dazs is probably not what I think it is. I'm thinking vanilla ice cream with some chocolate and some peanut butter in it. Because that's what you get at Dairy Queen when you get a Blizzard, right? You get a Reese's peanut butter cup Blizzard. It's vanilla ice cream with the chocolate and peanut butter. I'm like, I bet you anything, this is chocolate ice cream with peanut butter in it.
That's what I would assume. I don't know that I've ever had this, but
and I got it.
Chocolate peanut butter.
I gotta say, I know this might come as a shock to many, many people. I'm not a big fan of chocolate ice cream. I like vanilla. I'm okay with strawberry, but chocolate ice cream is just too sweet for me. It's just too much.
Yeah.
So we get this home. And it actually takes us a couple of days to get to the Häagen-Dazs because we were busy. And finally, it's like, let's get to that ice cream. So crack it open.
Oh, wait a minute. You got me curious now. So this Häagen-Dazs ice cream, and you're not sure what it's going to be like on the inside. Don't they have an image on the package?
That they do, but like it was just ice cream? No. It was just a picture of some chocolate and a picture of some peanut butter. And that was it. Now, the description said chocolate ice cream with peanut butter in it. But like I said, that employee was like stocking shelves. I didn't have time. I couldn't mess around. I had to just go, just pick something. Mm-hmm. I was in his way. I could tell. So I just grabbed it and went. So get home, open it up, or, you know, a couple days later, open it up. And I'm looking at this chocolate and peanut butter ice cream. I'm like, I'm not going to like this. And I started eating it and I got maybe about 5 scoops in me. And I was like, okay, I'm done. I don't want this anymore.
Wait a minute. Were you eating directly from the container?
It's just a little container. It's like a container
the size of my cup here.
Yeah. That cup is small. What are you talking about? It's not like a, that's like a
fair amount of ice cream.
Well, it is a lot of ice cream. I couldn't eat it all at once. But like I said, I ate about five. I had about five, like, table, like, or teaspoons. I was using a teaspoon. I had both. It's too sweet. That's right. Rock sauce is right. Too sweet for me. It looks like to get ice cream with Reese's peanut butter. I mean, that's good. That's good stuff. But like, you need the vanilla to, like, you know, the vanilla is not too sweet, you know, and you just get like a little piece of chocolate and peanut butter.
I understand what you're saying. I'm with you there. Like, if I get chocolate ice cream, I do prefer that it's like a pint of chocolate ice cream would probably be way too much.
Yeah.
Vanilla would be too much too, but it would be a little easier.
Right. Plus the peanut butter swirls in this thing were like frozen chunks of peanut butter. They were like, you know, like you try to dig through the chocolate ice cream, this big pieces of peanut butter are coming up. And
but you gotta let it, sit out room temperature for a little bit.
Too much. This ice cream was too much. Too much. Anyways. This all ties in together. I don't want this ice cream anymore. So I'm like, it's sitting in the freezer. Sarah finished her ice cream. it was the next day or maybe a couple of days after. We're sitting here. We're watching this episode. I could tell it's coming. Kevin Arnold is going to get the news that his math teacher has passed away. And I turned to Sarah and I said, you know that ice cream that I have in the freezer? She's like, yeah. I said, you go ahead and you eat that ice cream. I don't want it. She's like, you don't want it? I'm like, no, you take it. She's like, okay. So she goes and gets the ice cream and we sit down and we continue on with the episode. And I figure that she's going to need this because the shock when she finds out that the math teacher has passed away is going to be, because she's never watched the show before, right? This is okay. going to be come as a shock to her. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching, and it's as the episode is building. And so Kevin and this math teacher are building this relationship. He's a C student, right? He was actually a D student. He pulled his grades up on his own to a C, but his math teacher sees potential in him and knows that he can do it. He can pull off an A. So Kevin Arnold, you know, finds out that this math teacher, like if he thinks the student is doing his best, will write a little note like, hey, excellent job or whatever, right? But Kevin Arnold's never received this. So he goes and asks his math teacher, you know, like, how come I don't get these notes or whatever? And his math teacher basically says, meet me after class and we'll get you. You will get an A. He's like, I'm not an A student. He's like, you're an A student. You know, just meet me after class. We'll work on it. It's 2 weeks to your midterm. We'll work every day, 2 weeks to your midterm. And we'll get you that A. So Kevin Arnold does it. He shows up every day and that. And then one day his math teacher is not there. So he catches his math teacher in the parking lot. He's like, I can't help you anymore. I have an appointment. Kevin doesn't know what's going on. You know, he's only like a 13-year-old kid. So he's really pissed off at his teacher. So for the midterm, he basically just purposely flunks a midterm, right? Like all of his answers are like, who cares? This is stupid. You're dumb, blah, blah, blah. Right. Mm-hmm. Hands it in. And Mr. Collins reads it. And he's like, Kevin. And Kevin just takes off. So that's how their relationship ends. Right. And he gets the news the next day that his math teacher has passed away. And as this is being revealed, I'm watching Sarah at the corner of my eye and she's just on that ice cream, right? Just nom, 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 nom. And I'm just like, as soon as the vice principal says, Kevin, Mr. Collins has passed away. It was his heart. And let go. And I'm looking at the corner of my eyes. I'm holding back the tears. It's happening again. I'm just gonna burst out into tears. I'm looking at Sarah and she's just ah, bah, bah. Didn't phase her in the slightest bit. She finished her ice cream. She looked over at me. I'm like crying, dripping tears down my face. She's like, well, what's wrong? And I'm like, this episode, it gets me all the time. She's like, oh, well, you're just a sensitive guy. She throws the ice cream away. And... wow.
So she doesn't feel your pain. And
no.
She ate all your emotional support ice cream. So
yeah,
there you are, left alone.
I thought for sure there'd at least be like a pause, like, what? Oh my God, I didn't see that coming or anything. Just,
She's too up to date on contemporary television. You
I
see
guess.
That stuff coming a mile away now.
I guess so. But for me, when I was a kid, that hit me hard. And it was because you know, the math teacher believed in him, right? And it was just like, man, I imagine just having a teacher that believed in me. That would have been something else. But. Oh, yeah. And of course, the story did happen to Sarah because she had a piano teacher that died on her, that passed away on her. But anyways.
All right.
Yeah.
My the principal of my high school died while I was there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I've had teachers.
I was eating my ice cream. Didn't faze me anything.
Well, I've had teachers pass away while I was at high school. I remember one of the shop teachers had passed away in that. But I didn't have any, like, sort of, you know, connection with
them. Yeah, I didn't really have a connection with the...
Yeah. Uh-oh, Sarah's getting upset, making it sound insensitive. Well, in that moment, it might have hit a little bit. I don't know. No, it was just funny because I thought it would have. I thought it was going to hit you. I thought it was going to, like, you were going to be surprised by it. And it just, it was funny how this episode, I had been dreading it for since we started this series. I knew that was going to happen. And I figured I could hold it together. Like, it wasn't going to affect me a third time, but it did. And it's just funny how it just didn't affect you at all. It just kept going. Anyways.
Maybe she was just too happy because she was finally able to go back to the Häagen-Dazs that she had stayed away from.
I think, for 20 years. Yeah, I think so. She was just happy to have some Häagen-Dazs. Whatever happened on TV, I bet you if a puppy died on the TV, she would have said something. But math teacher, stinky old math teacher.
With puppies.
There was such great detail in that show, though, too. Like when they showed Mr. Collins, he'd have that chalk on his ass. Like that straight, because he was like leaning up against the, you know, like that tray that you'd keep your chalk pieces in.
The little chalk sill, yeah.
Just so great little detail. Like, good times. Anyways, so after that, I went out and I replaced the brake pads on my Honda mm-hmm. Fit. I wish I had a Honda Civic. I'm not that rich. And the brake pads wouldn't fit. I had bought these before off of Amazon. And I bought them 2 years ago and they fit. These ones would not fit in there. I was like, well, what am I doing wrong? And went online and people were like, make sure you push the piston in all the way. And I pushed the piston in all the way and I did it again and it just wasn't fitting. And then finally someone was like, yeah, these things are crap. They're you know, they're made out of China, their castings aren't that great. You're gonna have to grind down the ends. I'm like, really? Is that what I'm gonna have to do? So I got my dad's old grinder out and grinded down the ends, and then they fit right in there. Beep.
All right,
there you go. But I felt my age as I was doing all that because that was a lot of up and down and
a lot of crouching.
And yeah, and I'm like, oh my goodness! And then like I'm getting like you know like these pains in my joints that I've never had before. I'm like, oh, my mom suffers from rheumatoid arthritis. You should see her. She's got like the hands like this. And I'm like, oh, man. It's all hereditary. So I'm hoping even right now, like I could just feel like this little pain right there. Like, what is that? Go away.
Sounds like a Brian Regan bit. It's like, yeah, it's just going to hurt from now on.
So there, I balanced my wussy crying with some manly brake pad changing.
There you go. Are you going to go back get some more Häagen-Dazs?
I'd like to try a flavor that I would actually like and see how it is, but it has to go on sale again.
Plain old vanilla.
They didn't have it. It was all fancy flavors, unless I was so rushed that I didn't see it. You know, I didn't have time.
Go back to the supermarket and stand up for your rights as a consumer. Stand there in front of the ice cream counter like everybody else does. And
I did 10 minutes
to make a decision.
I didn't want to bother that guy. Oh, Sarah's ready for some Häagen-Dazs. So maybe we'll go get some tonight. They don't make plain old vanilla. Well, there you go. And no, I've never had Ben and Jerry's either. I think Sauce asked that earlier. Yeah, no, I've never had Ben and Jerry's. But that's an American thing.
We used to get Ben and Jerry's around here, but I guess it wasn't popular. They all disappeared.
Yeah, I don't know if we actually get that here. We might. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm a pretty basic ice cream buyer. I don't buy ice cream that often. If I do, cookies and cream is one of my go-tos, like the Oreo cookies and cream. I'll go for like a chocolate peanut butter if I saw it, but I don't see that. They've got one here at the Baskin Robbins called Caramel Ribbon. So it's like kind of like vanilla with like streams of caramel through it. Sounds pretty good.
Apparently Ben and Jerry's is even more expensive here. Okay.
Ooh.
Well, usually for ice cream, like we go, like when we go on a trip to Manitoulin Island or something like that, we go to the place that has like the, you know, ice cream cones. I don't know, creamery. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you call it. And my go-to, the flavor that they have here is Moose Tracks, or there's different variations of Moose Tracks. So basically, vanilla ice cream,
maple syrup, and salmon.
Vanilla ice cream, because that that's the base. And then they put in these little peanut butter cups. Ooh. Chocolate and peanut butter cups. Like they're like little Reese's cups. And then yeah, it's like a maple flavoring, or sometimes it's a caramel flavoring. There's different variations of it, but Moose Tracks is one of my favorites.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. And then today, I was, the back hatch on my Fit hasn't worked in about 5 years.
All right.
Yeah, like you can open
back hatch, meaning you can't open it.
You can't open it from the outside. You can go inside and you can adjust the device inside and get it to open, but you can't
open it. It's got to be really convenient when you're out shopping.
It's not. And Sarah actually refuses to take it out shopping for that reason. And I don't blame her. It's a real pain. Yeah. So now what's holding me back is I did get a new handle. The handle on it, like the outside handle, is all corroded. That's one of the faults with this car is, you know, how you get all that backsplash on the back of the cars, right? That's why any car that has a hatchback or an SUV or something like that with a flat back has to have, by law, a windshield wiper on the back, because all the spray comes up on the back. Well, one of the flaws with this car is that the handle is like underneath, and it gets like a lot of spray on it. So all that salt from the road goes up into underneath, and the handle is plastic, but it's connected with like a metal spring, and like there's like a metal rod that goes through the thing, and that all corroded on me. So at first the handle wasn't working. So I got a new handle for it, but apparently to take the handle out, you have to take off the rear windshield wiper. Mm-hmm. And in order to take off the rear windshield wiper, you needed some sort of special tool. So that's why I've been holding off on doing this. Well, YouTube recommendations. Sometimes you get like a really good one. And I guess it, you know, searched through my history of me looking up, you know, repairs for the Honda Fit. And this newer video that popped up was like, fix the Honda Fit back, the hatch handle, without taking off the wiper blade.
Okay.
I'm like, okay, how do you do that? So he went in and he showed how you do it. You just kind of take off one side and the handle will eventually pop out. I'm like, great. So I go, after I do my brake pads and all my arthritic stuff is hurting, I'm like, I got to try this hatch thing. So it was great because I went in the back, and his car, it was a 2008 Honda Fit from Ohio, and his was really corroded in the back, like all the little mechanism and all that. Mine wasn't that bad. It was just the handle itself was corroded. I'm like, great. So I start taking off all the stuff and that. Then once I got to like start taking it out, the handle was like stuck in the open position. And so like the back part was stuck open like this, and his was like closed. So he slid his right out. Mine was like this, and it wouldn't even fit through the, I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? So I got this stuff. It's called Liquid Wrench. It's like the greatest stuff. You just spray it on anything that's corroded or whatever. You let it sit for a few minutes, and eventually it'll work its way into the joint, and you'll be able to move, get anything to move almost. So I sprayed all this stuff on there, and I got a pair of, what are those called? No, it was a pair of pliers. Can't remember the name of it.
Okay.
Anyways, channel locks. That's what it was. I got a pair of channel locks on there.
Channel locks.
Got them to close. Handle popped right out. Beautiful. Put the new handle on. Get it all set up and fixed in there. Close the hatch. Go to open it. It still won't open. What is going on? So, turns out that there's like a mechanism on the bottom that's broken as well. It's not just the handle. There's like a mechanism that doesn't, but you know, I tried like all last night to try to get it to work. I put like a ton of grease on the thing to try to get this slipping out. It just, nothing works. So I have to get a new, it's going to cost another $43 for a new mechanism to go on the back. But eventually, the plan is to finally have a working hatch.
You don't want to get by just like tying a little rope and just manually sealing it every time?
No. No, I
have a fancy one, like one of those thick rubber band things.
Or just some duct tape. Just close it.
Yeah,
put some duct tape on it. Yeah, sure.
That'll keep all your records safe when you're driving them around.
The LeBrain from Grab a Stack of Rock. I was on an episode recently where we talked about our favorite bald musicians. You might be interested.
Bald musicians.
That's right. Favorite
not
bald.
Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix was not bald. He might have been. No. If he lived, he might have been. But
no. When did he die? He was like in his late 20s.
27.
Yeesh.
That's the date. You ever heard that 27 is the age where all these famous musicians have passed away? There was Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison. I think Mama Cass from the Mamas and the Papas. And then the curse set aside for a while. And I think Amy Winehouse was 27 when she passed away. Hmm. I think Kurt Cobain, he was 27 too. There you go. Hmm. There you go. Oh, and we also speculated on suspected bald artists. That was fun too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there you go. That's what I've been up to.
Right on.
I mean,
Is it my turn?
But I'll let you talk.
I got plenty of things. I got plenty of things.
I'm listening.
All right. A little while ago, I mentioned that I had bought Touch of Evil.
Yes.
Watch that, which is great.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would say... you know, the direction and all is fantastic, but Orson Welles' performance is possibly even trumps that. He's so good in this.
Yeah.
He's such a great villain.
Yeah. What did you think of Charlton Heston playing a Mexican, though?
Well, what am I going to say? Yeah. What am I going to say? I'll say, you know, I know... Look, I'm not saying we should continue to do brown face, black face, whatever, but an actor acts.
Mm-hmm.
That's their job.
Yeah.
He's not really, you know, Mexican. He's not really the profession that he attempts to play. He's not really married to Janet Leigh. Actors act. That's what they do. And as long as they're not portraying a comical stereotype, they're at least playing a character, you know, with arcs and needs and things like that. So, yeah. By the way, people who say, you know, you should always cast, you know, the appropriate race or whatever. It's not always true, because then you're saying only white people can ever perform Shakespeare. You know, you gotta be open.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. I think the whole backlash, though, was that, you know, there was these big Hollywood movies that were being made. And
yeah, you know, well, essentially, they were saying, hey, we could take the time to go find somebody who would properly portray this, or we can take someone we know and have and just like slap some paint on them.
Yeah. And,
they
weren't confident that the... actor, right. the minority actor would draw in the same audience as a white actor would, and that,
right,
you know, I mean, come on,
for various reasons in the past it was done the way it was. That time is over. So,
well, they were still doing it, though. That's a thing, right? They were still, like, the Prince of Persia movie wasn't that long ago, you know. It was 2010 where they were like, it was
Prince
time
of Persia movie.
Yeah. With Jake Gyllenhaal as the Prince of Persia. Jake Gyllenhaal. Okay. Jake Gyllenhaal is the Prince of Persia. You know, like, we had to, like, stop. It had to stop at some point, you know.
Prince of Persia. From the video game, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Jake Gyllenhaal is the Prince of Persia. I mean...
Wasn't Brad Pitt the Mexican?
In what?
There's some movie called Mexican? The Mexican starring Brad Pitt. I just remember that from like a
Antonio Banderas
Paul Mooney sketch on one of the
Well, there you go,
Dave Chappelle show.
If he's a Mexican, then there you go. Yeah,
I don't know. I had bought this Ninja Turtles thing, and I showed you it was like a transparent piece of plastic.
Yes,
it actually works.
Oh,
actually
wow! There you go. There's a movie on there.
There is a movie on there. I did find a copy of Batteries Not Included.
Oh, I haven't seen that since I was a kid.
I saw it in the theater when I was a kid, and I remember a couple of like little points about it, but most of the movie I completely forgotten. So I saw this, I was like, I'm going to watch that again.
It's not that good, eh?
It's okay, but yeah. I mean, like, if you're a kid, I'm sure you get a lot out of it, but, you know, they got cute little robot alien things here. And I was hoping to see a lot of, like, really neat miniature stuff. I wanted to see the effects and everything, but so much of it is, like opticals where they you know superimpose the miniatures, the actual models, but it doesn't look great.
Yeah,
so there's a couple of scenes where you're seeing little miniatures and there's some movements and stuff like that, but
all I remember from that movie is there was a guy building like a mosaic, like a tile mosaic on the floor.
Yes.
And I think he passes away at some point, and one of the robots decides to finish the mosaic, and that's how they discovered.
You're 50-50 on that.
Yeah. Okay. And I think that's how they discovered.
Well, that's the big thing, is that they live in this old rundown building, and it's like the beginning of Up. You know, the big corporation is developing the land, and they're the last holdout.
Right, right.
And these alien things, they fix things. So,
oh, okay.
Kind of see where the movie goes with the mosaic and stuff like that. I was out on a big shopping trip 2 weeks ago, the day that we recorded last.
That's right.
My wife was going to a concert, and I was just tagging along to take the train ride. So I got to go to a couple of stores that I don't normally go to. And I had some success.
Kapla.
The very first thing I found, I went into a movie shop over there. Found myself a copy of Superfly.
Nice.
And it's even the North American release.
Whoa.
So I was extremely happy to see this. I had never seen it before. And I can tell you that Superfly is super boring.
Oh.
This movie is not very good.
Aww.
It is not very entertaining. Very cheap. Very much... I think I read up after I watched it, and they said the script was like 40-something pages long.
Mm.
So they just padded to get it to 90 minutes.
Wow.
I was hoping that it would be as entertaining as Shaft or as comical as like a Rudy Ray Moore movie, but... I won't tell you not to watch it, but...
Well, I have the soundtrack. I listened to that. Curtis Mayfield.
Oh, yeah. He had a significant amount of time because they were padding the runtime, so they just have him performing songs.
Right on. Maybe I'll like it then.
Yeah, maybe. I finally got a copy of Starship Troopers on Blu-ray.
I'm surprised you didn't have that already.
On DVD. I've had it on DVD. I had the regular DVD. I had the like collector's edition DVD with all the fanciness, which this, I don't think, has some of those like commentaries. Oh, no, it does. Okay, I got to compare. This is the stuff that I was really excited for. I had been looking for a copy of this movie for a while, but I could never find it. Brawl in Cell Block 99.
Okay. You
know about this movie?
I know of it. I've never seen it.
It's the same writer-director that did this movie called Bone Tomahawk.
I was just going to talk about that movie.
Yes. Have you seen it?
I just watched it, yeah.
Oh, okay. Tell me. What did you think?
Oh, I hated it.
Really?
Oh, God, did I ever hate it. No, I got to say, There is a nice, okay. So the movie takes place in the Wild West, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's this, what the heck? This guy gets, so these two guys, they stumble into this ancient native burial ground. Mm-hmm. And they are like, screw, like, who cares? Natives, we're Americans. Who cares about mm-hmm. these natives, right? And they walk in, and the natives kill one guy, and the other guy escapes. Now, they're both crooks. They actually find, camps of people who are sleeping, and they go and slit their throats and steal their stuff, right?
Right.
So they're not nice people. One of them is played by David Arquette. So David Arquette is the one who escapes, and he ends up in a jail cell in Kurt Russell's jail cell because, you know, he's a vagrant that came into town. They're like, what? You know, Kurt Russell knew there was something up with this guy. Mm-hmm. Starts asking him a bunch of questions. David Arquette gives him lip. He's like, I'm just going to leave. And Kurt Russell shoots him in the leg. Apparently, this is like a move that Kurt Russell does as a sheriff of the town. He's a sheriff, I should mention. And, you know, if there's something he doesn't like, he just shoots him in the leg and puts him in his jail cell. So this doctor, who's played by a female, she's a female doctor. She's got to go and take the bullet out of the leg. Kurt Russell leaves her with his deputy and says, take care of it, and we'll take care of this guy in the morning. Well, lo and behold, in the morning, his deputy's gone, she's gone, and the prisoner is gone. Mm-hmm. And there was a black kid that was guarding some horses, and he got killed. But he was left there, but the three white people were taken.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what is going on? Well, they get this Native expert guy who is a Native American himself, and he comes in and he says, oh, they were taken by this tribe. They're not really Native Americans. They're something else. They're like these weird people that we don't associate with at all. Every Native American separates themselves from these people. So then Kurt Russell decides he's going to go into this territory, and he's going to rescue this girl and his deputy and this prisoner if he can. Now, at this point, if you're a sheriff in the West, how are you going to do this? What are you going to do? You're going into Native territory. You don't know what's happening. What's your first move?
You put together a posse.
Exactly. You put together a posse. Now, how do you put together a posse? You have 268 people in your town.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? What kind of posse are you going to put together?
A go get 'em posse.
A go get 'em posse. Sure. Well, you're going to find all the men in the village, right? You're going to get them together, and you're going to say,
"Sexist."
This is a Western, okay? This is how it was. And you say, "Guys, they stole our female doctor. They stole my deputy. Possibly this thing. All the men, you are now deputies. I'm deputizing to you. Let's go." In a town that's 268, there's got to be at least 50 men. And you take the 50 men, and you go into the Indian place, and you slaughter them all, and you rescue your girl. That's the way it was done. But that's not what Kurt Russell does. Kurt Russell instead decides he's going to go on his own. Two other people convince him to go with him. So there's just a team of three. And then the woman's husband, who has a lame leg, decides to go. So now they're a team of four that are just going to go in. They have no idea how many natives there are. They have no idea what the situation is. All they know is that they're dangerous, and they don't like black people. That's why they left the black kid there. They only slaughtered him. They didn't. Oops, sorry. They didn't take him.
No.
I'm getting a little animated here.
You sure are.
So then, basically, once they find the spoiler alert. They find the girl, and she's been taken by these natives, but they're not really natives, right? Because we had that guy come in and say they're not natives. But
I think they might even call them like troglodytes or something like that.
Oh, you've seen the movie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm explaining it to you. Like, I haven't seen it. Okay.
I thought you were explaining it to the crowd. I haven't seen it in probably like a year or two. So
Okay. So, but yeah, like, but then they go ahead, they go out of their way to go through every Native American cliche for these things. And I just thought it was such a very thin veil to hide their racism behind, to say that, well, they're not really Native Americans. Like, can you imagine if this was to take place in Africa and you had some black guy come onto the screen and say, well, these aren't really, you know, Africans. They're something else. And then, you know, you go in there and they just do every Native or African cliche, you know, that you could possibly think of. Like, there were Native Americans that were slaughtered under the illusion that they were cannibals, right? They told white people, those Native Americans over there, they're cannibals, so we have to kill them. And people believed it, when actually none of it was true. There's way more cases of white people cannibalism in North America than there ever was of Native American cannibalism. You know, and I, so like these people, they apparently they eat other people. There was a really gratuitous death scene that made no sense, where they take a guy and they scalp him. And, you know, if as soon as you start being scalped, like it doesn't even get halfway and the guy will pass out, right? But not this guy. He's screaming.
It's cinematic.
Then they stuff his head, or like the skin from his head in his mouth, and he's still screaming. And then they take him up and like he's a hog and tip him upside down and then start splitting him in half. No blood anywhere. Apparently, I don't know how this guy was living with an empty carcass, but somehow maybe they gave him some magic Native blood.
It's probably to avoid an X rating because it gets pretty graphic.
Yeah. Well, I just thought it was downhill from there. Like I was kind of enjoying the slow Western thing. Like I was like, okay, this doesn't make any sense. That Kurt Russell doesn't have a posse with him. He's going by himself, but I'm just going to go with it because you have to suspend some belief. But once they got to that scene, I was like, this is awful. And then like all the stuff with the Native Americans, and I just thought, this is terrible. This is so racist. I couldn't believe that they tried to fool everybody by saying, well, they're not really Native Americans. I'm like, come on, dude. Come on. Yeah.
I really need to watch this again because I enjoyed it much more than you did.
No, I
can understand you're not into like body horror kind of stuff.
I can't stand watching people be tortured. I don't get it. I don't understand. It does absolutely nothing for me other than turn me off. You know, like I just watched The Wicker Man, and I thought that was a really good suspenseful horror film where a guy does get put through the paces at the end, but you know, it builds up to this thing. Whereas this was just gratuitous, you know, it just, I don't know, if it's your thing, that's fine, but it does absolutely nothing for me other than turn me off. Aren't you glad you asked?
I'm really motivated to watch it again now because I'm curious. Because I was a little 50-50 on it. I kind of appreciated it more after I watched it. And for the record, I did enjoy Brawl in Cell Block 99.
Yeah,
probably less racist than you would find the Bone Tomahawk. But again, it has that style of. Yeah, thanks, Ryan.
I'll save that one for the video only. If you want to get in on that joke, watch the video.
Well, this one is very patriotic. Vince Vaughn's character has an American flag outside his home. That's pivotal in the story. But yeah, he goes to prison for something. There's a lot of fighting and stuff like that, as the name suggests, and it has that style of violence where it's, you know, they're fighting, and then suddenly it's like it gets kind of brutal, and that's, you know, similar to what was in Bone Tomahawk. But there are parts of this movie where the effects are pretty good. There are parts where the effects are pretty, like, why did you choose to make it that way? But it has Dexter's sister.
Oh, yeah.
And Don Johnson.
Wow.
Yeah, so what more can I say?
Wow.
if you hated Bone Tomahawk,
get ready.
You like Dexter's sister? I don't know.
Well, you know, sometimes like I find a lot of filmmakers to be hit or miss. So maybe that one will be a hit for me.
You never know. I know. I was looking forward to it. I enjoyed it.
So I mean, I really enjoyed that the Western part of Bone Tomahawk when they were on the road and they were going to you know, try to find the girl and all that. And it's really funny because I was enjoying all that, and I'm fairly sensitive to pacing in films. Pacing is big for me.
That this director, that seems to be his style. He does a lot of slow pacing.
Well,
both of those films, it's nice and takes its time, Western, is much more appropriate.
That's what people were complaining about, was the pacing. They said it was way too slow. I thought it was spot on myself, but what do I know? But where the hell is? Oh, I can't remember. Anyways, yeah. Okay. What do we want to talk about next?
Well, I got two more things here.
Okay.
The old Fandango effect. Last time we were talking about your George Romero zombie movies.
Yes.
And I went out, and sure enough, Dawn of the Dead was sitting right crazy. There.
And that movie is impossible to find.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy. That's exactly what we're talking about, is that it's, you know, you don't see it around that much because it's out of print or something like that. The rights changed hands.
Right.
For some reason, it's hard to find.
Yeah.
And I see it. All the movies are like spying out. And then suddenly this one was faced right there. Just, hey, look at that. Son of a gun. We just talked about that. And then I looked at the price. And I said, hell no, not buying that. But then I, you know, I moved on. I thought about it. I was like, you know what? I'm an adult. Yesterday was payday. I know this is what this movie costs. I do want to have a copy of it. Why not? Let's be an adult and realize that I'm just going to spend more than this on other movies eventually. You know, buying like $2 here, $3 there.
Right.
You can easily buy a couple $100 worth of garbage. And, you know, you're like, well, it was a couple of bucks.
Right.
You know, that mentality. So
yep.
It was either leave it or get it. So I got it. I watched it and I enjoyed it. So I'm glad I have it.
Can I ask how much the movie was?
You can ask all you like, but that
oh, come going on.
With me to the grave.
Come on. I'm curious, how much is that movie going for in Japan?
Well, I can probably say it's probably the most I ever spent on a used movie.
Okay.
I have spent more on used video games.
Okay.
It's certainly cheaper than what you pay for a brand new game on a contemporary console.
Well, it's $90 now.
Yeah, that Canada. Adds. It was not $90.
Okay.
Not there.
All right.
No price justification. I didn't even have a coupon or anything. I just bit the bullet.
I
gotta say, I really enjoyed the movie. It's part horror, part comedy, part social commentary. It's definitely worth it if you see it out there.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in forever, so I guess I'll have to download it. I think that'll be the only way I can watch it. We don't have any more streaming services. We got rid of them all. We don't pay for
really.
I don't have any Disney. So Disney Plus apparently was cracking down, like Netflix.
Well, you were doing the sharing of
yes.
accounts.
Right? Yeah. Apparently, my friend got a notification that if Disney sees any people not in his residence using his account, that they could shut down his account. And I was like, that's fine. And I just went and I deleted them off. Deleted Disney Plus off all of our devices. So right now we have Tubi. We have a free streaming service. And I'm not sure if it's in the States, but here in Canada it's called Pluto, where it's just streaming. Like, it streams TV shows and movies all the time.
Oh, yeah. I think I watched Cops on Pluto.
Okay. And what's the other one? Oh, and the Roku. The Roku has a free channel as well, which is our streaming device. So that's it. That's all we got.
I can definitely see that because I've faded in my use of streaming. I find like my kids use it, and yeah. I've realized like, well, whenever I go on here and look for something, it's like, ah, it's all the same stuff. Or, yeah. You know, I have it on a physical copy, and that's how I usually just watch things now.
Oh, they do have, you do have Pluto in the States. Well, there you go. Well, I come on, go away. Okay. I started with Netflix like way back in 2010 because it was cheap and convenient. And then they took away the
Star Trek.
I don't think we had Star Trek on there at the time. Maybe we did. I don't know. Anyways, they took away the cheap part, and now it's just got crazy expensive. And done. Gone. Yeah. Gandhi.
Well, a little bit more on the body horror. I'd also picked up another movie because I kind of felt like, I got the Dawn of the Dead. There's another movie that's been sitting in a shop that I just held off on. Figured, why not? I picked up From Beyond, which is a Stuart Gordon joint. Hmm. He's the guy who directed Reanimator.
Oh, okay.
So this also has Jeffrey Combs as the star. And nice. It also has Ken Foray, who was in Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, there you go. Circle is now complete.
Yeah, this one I did not enjoy as much as Reanimator, but it has its moments.
Hmm. Well, it's got Jeffrey Combs in it, so there you go.
Jeffrey Combs.
So for me, we mentioned Bone Tomahawk, which I hated. One star. The Wicker Man, I mentioned that a little bit. I watched the original Wicker Man.
That's the original, right?
So apparently there are three versions of the film. There's the original theatrical version, because they made the director cut out a whole bunch of material from it. And then there is the director's or full version or whatever that they put out on DVD later. They said, we don't have to cut it out. We're not in the theaters anymore. You can watch everything on the DVD. And then the director came out after that DVD and said, actually, the movie wasn't finished. That was the version I did bring over to the ratings board, and they did cut out a bunch. But the movie, I just wanted to know what they were going to cut out. And so that version is actually too long. So there is a director's cut that came out in 2014. Unfortunately, I don't have that cut. I only have the theatrical one and the extended one. So I went with the theatrical one because traditionally end up hating all those extra scenes. They just make the movies drag for me. So I watched the theatrical version. And let me tell you, what got passed into the theater in 1973 was quite astounding because it wasn't so much any sort of graphic horror or anything like that. It was more of the subject matter of the film. So in the movie, this police officer get a call that there has been a girl. There is a girl that has disappeared on this sort of Welsh Scottish island off the mainland of England. So this constable goes in there to investigate the disappearance to find out what's going on with this girl that's missing. So he goes and talks to the mom. She doesn't seem to really care too much. He goes and talks to her school teacher. The school teacher is like teaching all sorts of crazy, like these were kids, right? Like, you know, grade 5 students, let's say, and she's teaching them like sex education. And he's just like, what is going on? This is crazy. He goes and talks to the mayor. He goes and talks to like all this stuff. And it's just, there's this weird cover up happening and he's not too sure what's going on. Not to give away too much about of the film, but it turns out that the whole island is a weird cult that has all these weird and strange beliefs. They don't believe in death. They believe in just this weird reincarnation kind of thing. And the movie just goes on from there. They have like these festivals to because they grow all their own food and they sell whatever they can't eat, they sell kind of thing. And it's really bizarre that food, like tropical fruit and stuff like that, is growing on this island out in the Atlantic Ocean, you know, off of the mainland of England. It makes no sense why all this is happening. But perhaps they are in with some sort of nefarious being or something like that. Who knows? I can't tell you, but you should watch the movie to find out. But I thought it was a really strange subject matter, really strange characters in the film, but it was oddly compelling. Even though there were plot holes in it, like, for instance, the fact that he's on this island and he can't contact anyone on the mainland, he can't call for backup or anything like that, that didn't really make too much sense. He doesn't even bother to try. They don't seem to have any phones, but you'd think they would have some way of communicating to the mainland through radio or shortwave or something, right? Smoke signal, I don't know, something. They have some sort of way, but... Oh, Sauce wants to know if you've seen Return of the Living Dead.
I haven't, but it's on my list. I've been thinking about ordering it. I'm very curious because I've heard that one is more of a comedy, but it was directed by Dan O'Bannon, who wrote Alien.
Mm. Well, there you go.
Interesting connections.
That's cool.
I do want to see that one, though. I still haven't seen Day of the Dead either. I haven't found that one.
I have it on DVD.
I know you got that one.
Okay, so Wicker Man. I watched the latest Pixar joint, Elemental.
They're still doing that, huh?
They're still doing stuff.
What's an Elemental?
So it's about this. It's basically, it's a movie about racism. And this fire girl, they're like the fire element, and then there's the earth element, there's a water element, and wind. And all these people are basically living together in this city, and the fire people are down below, they're, you know, worthless kind of thing, and the water people are, you know, up high, they're the upper crust of society, and then the wind and earth people are kind of in the middle, they go back and forth kind of thing.
Would wind be on top?
Wind's in the middle, water's on top, whatever. So
shouldn't it be earth, water? I don't know how fire sits on top of water. And then,
it was earth, wind, and fire.
Where's heart?
And didn't get in there. I don't know. Anyways, the water, there's a water kid and a fire kid, and they both fall in love, and, you know, that's what the movie's about. It was kind of bland, especially for a Pixar film. Like, it didn't hit as well as, like, Up or Inside Out did. It's funny because it's dealing with racism. It's basically all an allegory for racism, but they don't really want to offend anyone. So it all just comes off as bland. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that you have to offend anyone to talk about racism, but it doesn't, like, there's no edge to it. There's no, like, really hitting at, like, how terrible racism can be or anything like that. It's all just, like, done in this light, fun way. And I don't know, maybe that's more appropriate for kids or something, but it just, there was nothing, there wasn't very much humor in it to make it entertaining for me. So I didn't really care for it. Now, a movie that I did enjoy quite a bit more, I would say, well, I gave it the same rating as I gave The Wicker Man, but this movie also deals with racism. It also deals with sexism. Mm-hmm. And it's not a movie I thought would deal with any of that stuff. On the surface, it looks like a movie that's about a dance competition. And that's what I thought it was going to be. I thought I was going to be sitting there watching John Travolta dance around in a disco. But instead, he is walking around Brooklyn, hitting on broads and saying all sorts of racial slurs. And
there are a couple of slurs the first time they go into that disco. Yeah,
goodness. Oh my goodness.
70s bluntness. Yeah.
Now this is a movie Saturday Night Fever. I did not. I've always assumed that it was a movie about a dance competition, you know. And it's funny when you go on Letterboxd and read all the reviews for it. There were a lot of young ladies who went into this movie after watching, I would say, Glee or something like that, do a
Saturday dancing or something,
doing like that. A Saturday Night Fever special kind of thing, assuming that it was going to be a lighthearted movie, and instead, mm-hmm. like, there's a girl getting raped in the back seat, by gang raped actually in the back seat.
That was Donna Pescow,
yeah,
who plays the mother in Out of This World, which co-starred the voice of Burt Reynolds.
There you go. The circle is now complete. Wow. It all comes together. Anyways, very entertaining film. It was good. What's this? Good time to tune in with Mars Man talking about Saturday Night Fever. You probably have seen it. As a kid, like, that's it. It was the Bee Gees on TV, you know, doing
all the songs. You just hear the music and it's John Travolta doing the points.
Yeah.
That's all I ever knew about the movie.
Yeah. I did not expect it to be like a hard, slice of life of these dirty, rotten people. I mean,
they're all pretty bad people.
Yeah, and there, a lot of allegories.
Terrible habits.
A lot of allegories with bridges, and that bridges fit into a lot of like where the mm-hmm. characters' hopes and dreams are. They're going to be going. There's a lot of talk about bridges and that. It was something else. It was a lot deeper than I thought it was going to be, and it's a really good and effective film.
Same thing. I didn't really know what to expect. I thought there'd be a lot of dancing. And there was. There is
dancing.
Very impressive dancing, too.
The nanny gets in there and does some dancing, too. Fran Drescher.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
But, it's not what I expected at all. But it was an enjoyable film. And, you know, a lot of the young ladies on Letterboxd were upset because they said it was forgiving about rape culture and all this stuff. And I'm like, no, that's not what it was about. These were terrible people at the beginning of the film. They're still terrible at the end. And it's just,
but they learn, at least he learns a lesson
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit. I mean, he did have a little bit of an arc, but yeah, he's still, you know, at the end of the, yeah. Anyways, I don't want to get
away. Well, that's what you got to remember about movies is the characters are not always heroes.
Right.
You know, yeah. They're not always, this is an inspiring person. This is a character and this is the story.
Yeah.
Sometimes the story isn't,
pleasant.
Sunshine and rainbows.
Right. But I think that's what a lot of these kids went into. I thought the same thing. So, but anyways, there you go. Saturday Night Fever.
Overall, really good filmmaking too. That opening scene of him walking down the street, which I've seen 100 times, mm-hmm. you know, the clip of him walking around, never noticed the paint can.
Before. Me neither.
And then, you know, suddenly it's like, what is he doing? Why does he have this paint can? And when you get to the payoff of it, it's like, that's fantastic. What a layer of character right there.
Yeah. No, never once noticed the paint can. So. Yeah, I wonder what's that called? The Mandela effect thing? I don't know.
Oh, you're just too distracted by his sweet, sweet moves.
Probably. Okay, so those were all the movies I watched. You got anything else? Got any more movies?
I watched Animal House the other day.
Okay.
I'd seen it once before, and I sat down and watched it. Like, I'm going to watch this again.
All right.
I'm a little fuzzy, and as soon as it started up, I realized I don't remember a single thing from this movie, because much like Caddyshack, which was also Harold Ramis, he co-wrote Animal House, it's just here are some characters, and here are shenanigans and things that they get into, and there's kind of a loose plot that kind of holds it all together. So you just see all the crazy ups and downs and things that they do. And I laughed out loud quite a few times, so I know it's effective. And by the end of it, you're like, what was it about, really? And it's like, it was about jokes.
Yeah, you know? Pretty much. Jokes was
one thing I will say, though. I know people love that John Belushi doesn't really have fantastic pacing and presence. He might have been a wonderful guy to be around. I don't know. But a lot of his scenes, it's like, I'm waiting, like, faster, you know, do it, something.
Yeah.
It just seems like there's a little stutter, pause to his performance. I don't know.
I thought he was great in the Blues Brothers. I think that was like his true.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's better in that. Definitely
yeah. much better in that. And he's, I think, like, he was definitely the stronger musician than Dan Aykroyd was. Even though Dan Aykroyd can kill it on the harmonica, you know, when it came time to try to carry on the Blues Brothers, it definitely was missing Belushi.
I've never seen that 2000.
I did, and it was fun to see because there was a bunch of people that didn't make it into the original movie that he got this time around, like Eric Clapton and B.B. King and Paul Schaefer. Paul Schaefer was like part of the Blues Brothers band, and he wasn't in that movie for some reason. I think he was contract or couldn't, but he was in this movie kind of thing. So, but other than that, yeah, it wasn't a very good movie. Speaking of Harold Ramis and jokes, I'm still learning things about Ghostbusters after 40, it'll be 40 years next year at that movie.
Yeah. That
movie will be 40 years old.
Maybe you get a nice 40 year 4K new release.
That sounds tasty. I already have a 4K release, but what the heck? Let's get another one going. So do you remember at the close to the beginning of the film, when Peter Venkman is with the librarian and he asks the librarian, you know, does your family have any sort of history of schizophrenia or anything like that? And she says, my uncle thought he was Saint Jerome.
Yes.
You remember that? Okay.
Yes.
Do you know who Saint Jerome is?
I know he's the guy in the line from the Ghostbusters.
This is how brilliant Harold Ramis was. Saint Jerome is actually the patron saint of librarians.
Well, okay.
There you go. See, it's a joke. That's actually hilarious, but it went all over everybody's head. There it is. He's like, this joke.
Those little details. There's a reason why he chose that name.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never even thought to look up Saint Jerome or whatever, but I think it was on some sort of one of the social media posts that I pointed that out.
Mm-hmm. Can we dance with your dates? That's a line from Animal House.
I see. Yes. Good old rocket sauce. Mm-hmm. Okay, so speaking of tagging along with our significant others to concerts, I took a trip much around the same time that you were taking a trip to escort your wife to a concert and not actually go to the concert. I did the same with my wife and her sister. I drove her and Mary down to Toronto.
Let me interrupt you right here, because in your most recent YouTube video,
yes,
Vinyl Pickups, mm-hmm. I forget the title.
Vinyl Fine.
I just wanted to say that the phrase Sarah's sister Mary sounds like it should be a folk song title.
I'm writing that down. Sarah's sister Mary. Okay. Maybe that'll be the title of this episode. It might actually have an actual episode title. Mm-hmm. I'll have to see if that's okay with the parties that are named. Anyways.
Woof, that movie sucks. What movie are you talking about?
Yes. Well, okay. So we settled on the name Vinyl Finds because we used to call it Pickups, right? But then Deke always made fun of us for saying pickups. And apparently, like I did a deep dive on this. Apparently, like pickups, that's like a saying on YouTube that a lot of gamers use. I got these pickups, right? I pick up all these video games. But sure. In the vinyl community, they say haul. I got a vinyl haul. But I found out that haul meant to steal. Like you went in and you stole a whole bunch of stuff. So
it's also a U-Haul. You know,
I'm going with the literal translation, and I didn't steal anything, so I'm just going with finds. We found it. Vinyl finds. I don't know what we're going to do when we find a bunch of CDs, though, because that's going to be
Bag of trash.
Yeah. Okay, so I took Sarah and her sister Mary down to Toronto. We stayed at a hotel, at Cambridge Hotel, I think it's the name of it, which we picked. It wasn't the cheapest hotel, but we picked it because it was like a 15-minute walk to the Scotiabank Arena. So that was great because that meant I didn't have to drive them there or anything like that. They could just, from the hotel, walk down to the arena. So we also like stayed an extra day so we can go around shopping because there's a bunch of different vinyl stores, record stores are down there. There's Sonic Boom and Cops Records and a few others. So we... let's see. We drove down there the Monday evening, the Monday night, got to the hotel, and it was great because we drove right off the DVP, just one street right to the hotel. Didn't have to make any sort of turns or anything like that, just right into there. Got our rooms and all that and went to bed. Next morning, went record shopping. Had a little bit of breakfast, but everyone in this hotel too, they had like a complimentary muffin and coffee down in the lobby. So Sarah and I, like, you know, threw on like a t-shirt, jeans kind of thing. Neither of us had showered yet or whatever, just get ourselves a muffin and coffee. We're in the elevator going down. Everybody was dressed to the nines, like they're going to a big office meeting, you know, skirts and suits and ties and that. And we're dressed like
we just... Yeah, well, look at them. They have to go to work and yeah. You get to relax and eat muffin.
Yeah. So, yeah, we got the muffins and coffee. Okay, then we went out. And we went, Blues Brothers 2000 sucks. Yes, okay. You are correct, Rocket Sauce. Anyway, so, yeah, we went record shopping. We went, tried to find this one place, couldn't find it. But we ended up at Cops Records, and we got a bunch of stuff there. I always love that place. They always have really good prices, really good selection. I like Cops. Then we went to Sonic Boom, which is another big record store. And they got rid of all, they used to have records upstairs, new records, like anything that came in was upstairs. Then you'd go downstairs, they'd have more records. And then underneath the stairs, they would have like movies. And they got rid of all their movies, except for music related, like concerts and stuff like that. But all their Blu-rays, all their DVDs, gone. And it's kind of filled up with a lot more CDs and cassette tapes. Oh my God.
Oh boy.
That's the biggest thing now is cassette tapes. Yes. See, Deke knows. Cops is fantastic.
Cassettes and VHS. That's all people want now.
Well, they didn't have any VHS, but they had the cassettes and there were a lot more CDs too. So I'm thinking CDs might be coming back too.
But whatever is dirt cheap, like now, will be the big collectible in a couple of years.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyways, I didn't really find too much at Sonic Boom. I find they're really overpriced there. They're really expensive. And you can find a few hard-to-find things there, but you're going to be paying for it once you find it. So I didn't pick up too much there. And then we went to try to find another record store, but it was really weird. Like, the best way to get around downtown Toronto is to walk. You know, forget the car. You can take a bike if you're not carrying a lot of stuff, but if you're carrying like a bunch of heavy vinyl records, walking's the best way to get around. But it was really weird. They were doing a lot of work on the sidewalks. Everywhere we walked, we get like stopped by construction and you'd have to cross the street and continue on your way, and then you get stopped by construction again, have to cross the street and continue down. It was really crazy. So then what did we do after that? We went to Cops, and then I think we just got something to eat. Then I took them back to the hotel, and then they were getting ready for the show. The doors opened at 7 o'clock. So then they went to the show, and then I went out record shopping again because everything was going to close at 7 o'clock. So when I was with the ladies and we went down to the record stores, we went to down Queen Street, and that's where all the construction was. And that And our hotel was on Richmond Street, which is like the next street over. So I walked that down. That was great because there was no construction at all. It was all just open and that. And as I'm walking, I'm like looking around and like everybody looks so fit. Like they're all like, they're not fat like me, you know, they're all like in good shape and that. And I'm figuring it's from all this walking because you just walk everywhere, right?
Walking is good for you.
Yeah, it keeps you thin. There was one fat guy who looked like Benicio del Toro there. Not Benicio, what's it? Guillermo.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's another level.
Yeah. He looked like a comic, like the comic book geek in a way from The Simpsons. Like he had the big shirt on with the satchel. Anyways. Mm-hmm. Everybody else though was schvelt. Everyone else was really fit. But so my goal was to get to this record store that claimed that they have like this really awesome section of soul music. And I have been like listening to a lot of soul lately, like Aretha Franklin, The Meters, Funkadelic, and then B.B. King kind of falls into that sometimes too. Like I said, I got the Curtis Mayfield and so I'm looking for all that kind of stuff. Right. And they claim they have this really awesome. So I walk all the way down to this place, down Richmond Street and all that. Broke my record for steps ever on my phone. And I've gone for like 13 kilometer hikes, you know, and I'm just walking around shopping and I beat that record. So that tells you how much walking you do. Anyways, get there. They didn't have a very good selection. They didn't have very much stuff. So what I ended up doing was on my way back, I saw cops closed at 7 o'clock and it was around 6 o'clock. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go into cops again. So I went in there again, ended up finding a whole bunch of other stuff that I missed the first time. They had so when you walk in there, they have all their new arrivals, all the used new arrivals. And you flip through all that stuff because you can find some gems in there. It might be like the cover is ratty or whatever, but the record's fine, you know, but they can't sell it. They are at full price. So you get like a good deal. So, you know, we look through all that stuff and didn't find too much there. And then you go to like where the artist section is kind of thing. And that's where you find like the new records or used stuff or whatever. But what I'd missed was off to the other side, they had basically their good used stuff, like the stuff that comes in mint. But I missed all that. So I flipped through there and I found a bunch of stuff in there. So I'm going to be doing a video on that hopefully at some point soon because we've just been really busy lately. Sarah's parents have decided to sell their house. So we're going to be busy with that. This weekend, we're actually going over there to pack it up. But I'm hoping to get a video on everything that we bought on that trip. If you go to the Canadian Grooves YouTube right now, you can see my Sarah and I's return to YouTube. And then I got her to come back again because her stepdad donated to the collection a bunch of his old records and then a bunch of her dad's old records and a bunch of her mom's old records. So those were a couple of fun boxes to go through because we didn't know what was in there.
Yeah, you guys had a lot of fun when you were going through the classical phase.
There. The first half of the video is a little more exciting than the last half. Let's just
say. Oh, there was one gem in there, right?
There was one gem. Should I spoil it here? Should I say?
I don't know. I mean, I think you said it in the video. It's like it was worth sticking around.
Yeah. Okay, well, I won't say it then. I'll make you watch the video. But a lot of those, I won't say the classical records, but a lot of the jazz records that he had there, I've listened to them. They're quite good. So we did discover some new, so I might do a little update in our next video on some of the stuff that we found. Like there's one record, like the guy on the cover, he looks like he was kicked off of the Lawrence Welk show because he was, you know, too square, you know, like he's all dressed up in the suit and everything and all that. But his music was just, it was swinging, man. It was vibing. It was good times. So, yeah.
Now, do you actually have space for all of those records? I mean, you, That was a sizable couple of boxes.
While we did get rid of, or we are getting rid of a lot of them, because, I mean, there's it's just classic stuff. Cup of tea. And then some of it was really, really scratched up, like really roughed up. And I don't know, we kept some like to maybe put on the wall kind of thing as art. Like there was a couple of Harry Belafonte records, but but they were not worth cleaning. But the album covers are pretty cool, so you know, we might put those up kind of thing. But I got, when we moved into this house, I made sure that there was enough room for a substantial vinyl record expansion, because I knew that was coming. I knew that was happening. So we're all set.
Nice. Well, after I went to buy my movies, hopped over to another store, and I pulled the Steven Eider. I bought a bunch of toys.
Oh, no.
Well, you're not into toys. You're going to like these.
You're not into toys now.
Technically, model kits. I got.
Oh, right.
The Back to the Future time machine from the first movie.
Yeah.
And you can see it's got the little hook.
Yes.
In the back there. You can put the little hook there.
That's right.
I got the second movie. So it's got the Mr. Fusion.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do the wheels.
I'll get to that.
Okay.
Here's the third one with the circuit board on top. And then here you have the white walls or the
train
tires.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So what these are, they're actually those little pullback cars.
Oh.
But it's like a model kit thing. So you got the car in here, but it's got the little motor. Uh-huh. So you can put it together and then you can pull them back. So unfortunately, the second one, you invert them to hover mode.
It needs roads. Stinks. it needs roads.
Yeah, where these are going, they need roads. unfortunately, after I bought them, I kind of wished, because they had two of the original, but then only one of each of the sequels. And I wish they had two of the third one, so I could do one with the white walls and one with the the railroad tracks. But then I realized, if there were two of the second one, I could get in there and cut those things and invert the wheels myself.
Yeah.
And if I had gotten two of the first one, I could have one without the hook and one with the hook, showing the full, you know, evolution of the time vehicle.
Although I imagine taking the hook in it, like putting it in and out, I imagine you don't have to glue that. I imagine
no, but I could then have them all lined up and say, look, this is how you saw
the evolution
the beginning,
right?
Yes, and you can see it all the way, and then even get like a third one of the third version and rip it all up and have it laying on the train tracks,
or get a third one of the first one and have it covered in ice.
In ice too. Yeah, I was thinking about all these things, which is why I really do believe that the Back to the Future time vehicle is my favorite movie car, because it has a life cycle of its own.
It is a character, you
know, more than any other car. It's a character, and it's an essential component. The movie doesn't work without it.
Yeah, so. That's right.
That's right.
Yeah.
I also got a little suckered into, you know, those blind box things.
No.
You put the coins in and you turn the thing, a little egg comes out.
Oh no.
I had to, because I saw one that had Gremlins 2 characters. So I got a little Gizmo with the Rambo thing, which admittedly this is not my favorite. It's just he was also in there. I really wanted it for the Gremlins, because I have Daffy.
Oh nice.
He's the crazy looking one with the weird eyes. There's Lenny. He's the Bucktooth one. There is George. He's the kind of old mobster looking guy with the little lip curl. And then you got Mohawk, who's the leader.
Right.
And the thing is, all of these come with extra parts, so you can build the spider gremlin. So they come with there's like an abdomen and legs. So you put them all together. Goodness. He honestly doesn't look that great. So, and you have to use the top half of this one.
Mm.
So you have to like sacrifice him in order to do that.
Oh, you have to take him apart?
Yeah, they're like they just snap together. Came in one of those little leg things.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy the Gremlins design, so I really just wanted the Gremlins.
Now, if you could,
I'm very happy with them.
If you could just buy them all and not have a blind buy, do you think you'd do it?
If I could just buy them straight out?
Yeah, like you could see exactly what you're getting kind of thing.
Oh, absolutely. I would prefer to do it that way. So I didn't have, you know, a handful of extras.
Stupid blind buys.
I do hate that blind box mentality. But you got to admit, it's a very smart business decision. Because you buy the first one, 100%, you're guaranteed to get something.
Yeah.
You buy the second one, there are five in here. So you buy the second one, it's still 80%. And you go to 60%. And then you're getting a whole bunch of like duplicates. And then you finally get that one that you were missing. It's
no Barbie hoverboard.
No Barbie hoverboard, sorry. The Mattel hoverboard. But that is on the inside of the car.
So. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. If you could open the door, that'd be a nice little detail.
Yeah, unfortunately the doors don't open. When I found these though, in the same store, they actually had a large size DeLorean that was a little too expensive. I was like, eh. They also had an Ecto-1. Pretty big, nice detail. But these are small. Small is very important for toys. I don't want to buy like the big, you know, giant.
Yep.
If I don't know, maybe someday I'll get a giant DeLorean or something like that. But
I'd love to get a full size DeLorean and just drive around in it.
Full size. Awesome. There you go.
Yeah.
I'll take Rambo. No, I'm keeping Rambo Gizmo. I got to straighten out his little Q-tip thing. It's like bends too much.
Yeah,
and they fall down a lot. They're very cumbersome. So I ordered a whole bunch of bases.
Oh,
model bases.
I just put MacTac down and put them on their feet. Hmm.
I figure I'll put a little drop of super glue and just stick them to a base.
Okay, yeah, that works too.
Hmm. I don't care about the am I devaluing the product by gluing it to a base or something.
Sauce is really obsessed with what you don't have and not concerned at all with what you do have.
Hey, believe me, if they had the lady gremlin, the vegetable gremlin, the bat gremlin, the electric gremlin, I would have got them all. If they put out another series of these, I will be right back there embarrassing myself, pumping in quarters while people walk by and see me fumbling with all these.
I mean, you must just fit right in Japan doing that, though. I mean, I assume everybody does that.
Well, yeah, it's big business. You go, it's not like you find the one machine at the end of the store. They have hundreds of them.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, the machines all over with all these different cheap products. But the quality, pretty nice. Once you actually open it up and you take a look, they're good quality, good stuff.
But that's how people prefer to buy stuff there, though, right? It's through machines. They don't interact with people as much.
Well, that is true for many things. There's a machine. There's a shop nearby where you can buy pig's feet out of a vending machine.
Why not?
Yeah.
Get in on it. My goodness.
If you want to spice up your soup, throw that in your broth.
Yeah.
Melt them up.
That's okay.
Why not?
I'm good. Thanks, though. I think Sauce, you really should just be happy that there's any Gremlins 2 merchandise out there anywhere, because the fact that any of it's being made is quite spectacular.
Like, I don't know. I mean, it's big. I got a Mogwai up on my shelf here.
Gremlins 2. Like Gremlins 2. It's Gremlins stuff. Yeah, that's pretty popular, but Part 2.
Honestly, I kind of hope that they had Gremlins 1 Gremlins in here as well, because the designs are so different.
See you, Deke. I'll be hanging out with Deke next week. He's coming over here. It's Canadian Thanksgiving next weekend, and he's coming over. Wow. He's staying with us. He's visiting family in Sudbury, but he's staying with us. Good times.
Shows how he feels about his family.
Well, I guess the quarters are a little cramped there, but I'm sure he'll be spending Thanksgiving with his family. Like,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if he wants to do something here, he can. I don't think we'll be here. I think we'll be with Sarah's parents, but you never know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that's it. I think we've done and said it all.
I have no more things to hold in front of the camera.
So. I actually forgot to bring anything. It's been quite a busy day again today, because while I was working on my back hatch, trying to grease up my back hatch, trying to get it
You don't want to say back door?
Trying to grease up my back door, trying to get it to open and close and lock properly. And none of it was happening. None of it was fine. In the meantime, we got a shipment of, way back in May, I had ordered Muskoka chairs.
A what?
Muskoka chairs.
What is that?
You Americans might know them as Adirondack chairs.
Adirondack, I've heard that.
Okay. Well, we got
like deep angled, low to the ground chairs.
That's right. So we got them for outside. I ordered them in May. They said, you're probably not going to get them for 6 to 8 weeks. And I thought, well, these are really good quality. And they'll be here. We'll have them for most of August and all of September. So why not? And they didn't arrive until today. So we got three of them. We ordered four and we got three of them. So that's better than none, I guess. I have to message them and ask them where the fourth one is. But I spent all day putting those together and, they're just going to sit in the music room for now because I don't really want to put them outside for the winter, you know, like just not even enjoy the newness of them outside yet. So we don't really have any furniture in the music room right now. So I just set them up in there. I'll sit in my Adirondack chair, or as we like to call Muskoka chair, all winter long, and listen to tunes.
There you go.
Why not? Flasher Gremlin is the best, says Rock.
He is good. I really try to avoid buying toys, but I'll buy all the Gremlins toys I find.
Gremlins or Gremlins 2? Even Gremlins?
Both. Really? I love them both.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Love those little creatures. Because that's also something that you're supposed to have a ton of. There's just an army of little Gremlins.
Okay.
So the one thing that bothers me about this is that they are so specific that I can't really mix and match the legs and arms and stuff. Because if I got extras, I figure, I can make more gremlins, but it looks weird because these are strong personality gremlins.
Right.
So I would love to have a bunch of generic Gremlins 1 gremlins, but cigarettes and beer mugs and sunglasses and things like that.
Sounds like you're having a good time over there.
I love me some gremlins.
All right. Thank you to Rocket Sauce and Deke and Sarah and Mike. And that was it. You and I, we were both in there.
Yeah.
Yep.
We do our thing.
Yep. All in the chat. And I don't know. I guess we're doing this again in 2 weeks. We'll try. We'll
aim for it. Yeah. We're getting towards... it's October soon.
Yeah. Be watching some horror films and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yes. I got to watch some scary movies. No. It's Christmas. I have some movies that I bought that I was waiting for the season to watch them. I've got a Christmas movie that I want to watch, but I'm sure I got some Halloween. I have not watched The Exorcist in a very long time. And I recently bought a copy of that, so maybe I'll watch that.
That holds up, in my opinion. Now, which version did you get? The extended edition.
I have it's a 2-pack DVD that has the theatrical cut and the director's cut.
I think that's one of those movies where it's the exception. I do enjoy the director's cut of that film because there's a little extra in there. Don't do that. It doesn't give me some shivers up my back.
Well, I mean, I've had it for a little while, and that's one of those movies that I get a little anxious about watching.
I know.
I almost want to watch it, but at the same time, I don't.
I almost rather watch kind of an Arnold's math teacher die again. before we go, I just have one more thing. Just one more thing. This is like the combo thing. Did you know that there's a sequel to Saturday Night Fever?
Staying Alive, directed by Rambo.
That's right, yeah. So maybe I'll have to download that and send that over to you, old school.
Have you seen it?
I have not seen it, but Sarah watched it. It's one of those movies that Sarah had on tape as a kid, and she's watched that movie more than she's actually watched Saturday Night Fever.
Okay.
It'll be interesting to see.
I really don't know what the reaction is to that movie. I'm guessing it's not as good.
No, yeah.
But I don't know if it's like it's okay or it's a terrible.
I don't know either, but we'll have to look into that for the next time. Mm. All right. Okay. That's it.
All right.
Thanks
everybody.
Goodbye.